Gustav Adolphus and Maria, part two. The biggest disappointment with Gustav Adolf that he experienced in his married life had its deepest roots in the absence of a male heir. His first child, a daughter named Christina, who was born in the autumn of 1623, died when she was only 12 months old. For years after this, the country waited in vain for good news from the court. The royal family, which had until lately been relatively numerous, suddenly dwindled away. In 1618, Duke Johann and Maria Elizabeth had died childless. In 1622, Carl Philip died without having contracted any marriage recognized by law, and the two queens, dowager, followed each other to the grave within a few years. For some years, indeed, the greatest uncertainty prevailed as to the succession, particularly as it was well known that the king never shrank from exposing himself in battle. This period is marked by the last efforts of Sigismund's secret agitation in Sweden, culminating in the year 1624, and these are undoubtedly to be connected with the insecurity of the dynasty. When in 1622, Gustav Adolf invited Johann Casimir and Katrina to settle in Sweden, an important contributing cause must have been his desire to keep another possibility open for securing the succession. Such, at all events, was the opinion of the Danish agent in Stockholm. Shortly after the Palatine and his wife had moved to Sweden, their eldest son, Carl Gustav, was born. If Gustavus Adolphus had met his death in the years immediately following this event, it seems likely that his nephew would have been recognized as his successor, and consequently the Caroline family. They would have obtained possession of the throne of Sweden far earlier than actually the case. However, a new Christina, the most famous ever to bear the name, saw the light in Stockholm Castle at the end of 1626. She herself wrote an account in French of what she had heard of the excitement which preceded her entry into the world, and of the disappointment that followed it. Maria Eleonora was quite certain that it would be a boy. Both she and the king had dreams which seemed to portend a male heir, and our friends the astrologers, with whom the queen consulted, were of the opinion that sure signs pointed that way to a male. When Christina was born, covered with a lot of hair, the attendant woman thought at first she was a boy. Quote, they filled the whole castle with false rejoicing and for some moments deceived the king himself. Desire and hope combined to mislead them all, end of quote. There was great dejection when the mistake was discovered. The Countess Palatine, bearing the infant in her arms, undertook to break the news to her brother. The account which Christina gives of their meeting is a contribution of her knowledge of Gustavus Adolphus's character, which bears the stamp of truth. Quote, the great prince, however, showed not the least surprise, but took me up and embraced me as tenderly as if his hopes had suffered no disappointment. To the princess, he said, let us thank God, sister. I hope that this daughter will take the place of a son, and I pray God, who gave her to me, to have her ever in his keeping. The princess, thinking to please him, attempted to console him with the fact that he was still young, and the queen also, and she might soon give another child. But the king answered, quote, sister, I am content. God preserve her. Whereupon he dismissed me with his blessings and seemed satisfied that all were amazed with it. He commanded to him, O God, we praise thee, to be sung, and the rejoicing usual at the birth of a male heir in the throne to take place. The king smilingly said to me, quote, she's going to be clever, for she has taken us all in, end of quote. Christina narrates that she heard that at the time of her birth, her father was seriously ill. That statement can be confirmed. Per Brahe, who was a gentleman of the bedchamber, kept the king's company while he was waiting. As noted in his diary, that he was at that time laboring under a severe shaking sickness, or ague, which he had contracted during his campaign in Prussia. By sheer willpower, he shook off the attack. The king fenced with me double in the dining hall for some days, and so exerted himself that shivering left him. Right of the little princess to the throne by the terms of the succession agreement were incontestable. Though it was a notion sufficiently foreign to traditional Swedish ideas, there is a story that even after Christina's birth, the king continued to discuss the rights of young Carl Gustav with his closest advisors, and as it is a tradition that goes back to first-hand authorities, it is probably worth relating. So that's the birth of Christina. Everybody thought she was a boy, and then they were disappointed. and but he wasn't. And she will become a very fascinating lady once she takes the throne. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus versus Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32, by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry by Brzezinski, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.